Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
If you don't know this, I have a deep curiosity for culture, for nations, and for humanity. I have such a, I don't know if it's genetic or if it was cultivated. It's probably both. But I'm the kind of person, I have more questions than I do have answers. I know some of you, I envy you. You have more answers than questions. And I'm like, I wish I had more answers, but for some reason, every time I get an answer, I have 3,000 more questions. Or every time I experience something, I have more questions behind it. And I just had this built-in curiosity. And I want to go outside of the parameters of my life. I want to go beyond the edges of my reality, of what I know and what I understand. And I understand some of you, that's not necessarily what drives you, but that is what drives me. I'm constantly going, what's outside of this? What's beyond this? And why is it this way? And I just ask these questions all the time. I'm so intrigued that in the world today, there's over 7,000 languages in humanity. There's 7,000 languages, and I forget the number, but certain amount of languages are becoming ancient every day, and it's moving less and less. But 7,000 is still a lot. And within those languages, some of them, there are dialects and different dynamic that are at play. And so why is that intriguing me? Because it revealed there are over 7,000 solar systems of words to describe the human experience. There's so many different ways to describe. I'm so intrigued that there's people that live in the far north in the Arctic Circle that have over 30 words to describe snow. Because it's their reality, and one word is just not enough. They gotta have more. And I'm like, there's snow, and there's snow. They got over 30 words to describe snow. Candace and I love snowboarding and skiing, and so our favorite kind of snow is powder, dry powder. Could you just float? If you have never had that experience, you have not yet know what it's like to be a human being yet, to float through waist-deep powder in Utah. I mean, it is something else. And then we also know that there's tribes in the Amazon and the deep in the Amazon forest that have over 30 words to describe the color green. We have green. They have multiple words to describe the color green. Why? Because it's their reality. So I can get bored easily with my own reality, so therefore I'm curious about what's outside of my reality and the parameters of what I know. As you know, I love traveling. Candace and I just have this insane desire to travel, and we love going into new cultures and experiencing a different way of life, and love experiencing the food. I mean, one of our favorite questions we ask people is, if you had one genre of food for the rest of your life, what would it be? And for Candace, it's Mexican food. Like Mexican food, she lives or dies by Mexican food. For me, it's between Mexican food and Japanese. It's just a toss-up between those two. So different, and yet I love it all. I love the fact that life is too short to only experience what you know. Life is a whisper in a much larger conversation. And when you travel from one country to another country or you cross over a border, there's this process. As you step into new spaces and experiences, in the natural, we have something we call passports. And passports is what you show the border agent as you're going to the other side of this line. Sometimes it's a fence, sometimes it's a wall, and sometimes it's nothing. It's just a property line that only surveyors know where it is. But the moment you step into that space, there's a space in the middle that's neutral, meaning no country actually owns it. It's just neutral. And in that space, you have a passport. And that passport indicates what country or nationality that you are a citizen of. You have to be part of a nation, a citizen of a country, to go into another country. This is what happens when you go from one space to the next space. You have to be a citizen. Let me define a few things for you as we go into today's talk. A citizen is a person who, by place of birth, nationality of one or both parents, or a naturalization process, which if you're in a country for a certain length of time, the process that you can go to if you're from another country, that when you go through the naturalization process, you are granted full rights and full responsibilities of the country and nation and the political community that's represented there. Citizenship, let me define that for you, a legal status and relation between an individual and a state that entails specific legal rights and duty. Citizenship is generally used as a synonym for nationality. You see, being a citizen gives you rights and privileges and responsibilities. And our favorite part is we get to pay taxes. Technically, not having a citizenship means you don't have a home. Some of you remember the movie Terminal featuring Tom Hanks, which was actually inspired by a true, complicated, complex story. But the premise of the movie is this, is a man is traveling across the world and he lands in an airport. And while he's traveling, his own country of nationality that he's a citizen of collapses to the point where no nation recognizes his nation as a nation anymore. So here's a man who is caught in the neutral ground of an airport. So he can't get into the country he's trying to get into and he can't go back. And the long story is that he lived in this airport, and the true story, he actually lived in the airport for 18 years. The movie is a smaller, shorter version of that, but the whole idea is this, that you're a citizen of a country, and when you aren't a citizen, you have no home. See, different cultures around different citizenships. And I want you to understand that your citizenship, it actually is what helps and contributes to make up your emotional and psychological frameworks. For example, Australia, beautiful country. Any Aussies in the room? Okay, there we go. The one and only Heidi Kinder. Australians are amazing people. We have such lots of relationship, obviously, with Heidi and many others. And we were just there recently and just fell in love even more with the city of Sydney, just a beautiful city. But they have something called tall poppy syndrome. And it's this idea that when you get too tall and your poppy gets too tall, in other words, when you are standing out above everyone else, they will make sure to cut you down to get you back down to where everybody else is. But what's interesting about that, the other side of that, is they're one of the most multicultural countries in the world. And they have one of the longest, oldest, continuing cultures. Japan has a similar parallel in that the nail that's the tallest will get hammered down. So every culture has a framework, a value system that actually shapes your emotional and psychological frameworks. And in Japan, if you've never been there, they're some of the most kindest people. They'll always help you when in need. In fact, they will give up the place they're going to help you get to where you need to go to, even if they have a prior commitment. I love grocery shopping in Japan because they package everything in these beautiful, little, intricate packages. And if you've never had a peach in Japan, again, you've not lived life yet. Nigerians are known to be intelligent, hardworking people. They have this can-do, never-say-never attitude. And they're intelligent, brilliant people. Swiss people, me and the Swiss pastor has gotten this really intense discussion around why America's foreign policy is so foreign to how a Swiss thinks. And we got in this intriguing dialogue, and it wasn't a matter of whose foreign policy is more important. It was so fun to learn why you view the world the way that you view the world. Did you know that the way Asian culture, when you are given a gift in an Asian culture, it is more appropriate to put the gift to the side and open it after they have left? In American culture, that's an insult. They want you to open the present in front of them and tell them how amazing they are for giving you that gift. We Americans just need a lot of self-assurance coming from other people. But you see, in Asian culture, it would be disrespectful to take away from this moment by opening a gift. You see, every culture, every citizenship that you are a part of actually has an emotional, psychological framework connected to it. It is how you view and experience the world. Being a citizen represents a way of life, a way of thinking, and a way of being. In Spain, it's rude to start your meal until everybody has sat at the table. You see, being a citizen represents a way of life, a way of thinking, and a way of being. As much as I try to not be an American, it's impossible. As much as I try not to represent the citizenship that I come from, it is impossible. But there also comes this unique opportunity as a citizen, I get to represent the beauty of the country I am a part of. And in today's world, it's a lot of representing the country that I'm a part of. 25 years ago, the most valuable passport in the world was the United States passport. That is not the case anymore because of just the state of our nation. So guess what? We get the opportunity as American citizens to represent the beautiful sides. And this is why I love getting around other nations and cultures to experience the beautiful sides of their culture, their values. The great challenge we have is we follow Jesus and we think our culture is representation of how Jesus does life and lives and thinks. And that's the dilemma that we all have. We're trying to untangle this. Well, is this an American value system? Or is this an Australian value system? Or is this a Japanese value system? Or is this the value system of heaven? And that's the journey of life that we all get to be a part of. And we're essentially all trying to do our best. And especially in a political season, there's so much pressure to try to spiritualize all political activity. And again, remember, we are a citizen of a country that has a certain value system, a certain way of viewing the world, and the certain way that we are to be in this world. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Philippians. If you have an app, go ahead and open up quickly. If you don't have either, scoot down someone that actually has a Bible with them. I want you to read with me a few verses. And I love the book of Philippians for so many reasons. It's one of the unique letters that Paul wrote. I believe it's one of his most intimate letters. His guard is down really low when he's writing this letter. He had deep affection for the church in Philippi. Go to chapter 3. We're going to read verse 12 through 14, and then we're going to read one more verse after that. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. If I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Jesus Christ. Now jump down to verse 20 of the same chapter. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to note the word citizenship. I want you to note the word citizenship. We are citizens of heaven. Now, there's a Greek word here that's pronounced politouma, and that's the word that's used for citizenship in verse 20 of chapter 3. And the word relates to a Greek word which means city. It can have multiple meanings such as government, citizenry, or state. So in the context of verse 20, politouma can also mean the condition or life of a citizen. Some translations of the verse render the word as citizenship to emphasize that our true home is heaven. That our true home as followers of Jesus is heaven. Our citizenship, our true, where we're truly from, is from heaven. It's interesting, when you know where you're from, you feel like a foreigner somewhere else. I would propose to you that if you feel somewhat like an alien, a foreigner in this world, it's because your home is actually somewhere else. Now, this is not an excuse to disattach ourselves. This is just to recognize, oh, my value system, my emotional framework, my psychological framework, my spiritual reality is rooted in another dimension. And I happen to be living on earth for this moment in time. This is an important thing to understand, that we are actually not from here. Now, please don't tweet that or Instagram that quote without the context of what I'm saying. We are from here, but the moment you said yes to Jesus, you were actually rooted in from another dimension. Your citizenship shifted. And this is what I want you to understand today. You see, what's interesting is Paul is writing this letter. He's actually in Roman imprisonment. Interestingly, he's in prison because he was actually a Roman citizen. They didn't realize that they arrested him for some charges. And while he's in prison, he makes them know, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. This creates a problem because the way he was being treated wasn't according to the standard of a Roman citizen. They had treated him like he was not an actual Roman citizen. So even in a country that you're a citizenship and you're on the wrong side of the law, there are standards and rights and privileges that you get simply because you're a citizen. And in this case, Paul is actually writing while he's being in prison, and he's made it known, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. The way you've treated me, it's actually not according to the standard. And it put them in a political, legal conundrum. There's actually one moment in the book of Acts where, connected to this story, it said the commander that was over Paul said, I paid for my citizenship. And Paul says, I am actually born a citizen. So now they realize they have mistreated a Roman citizen, which is a serious, significant issue. So Paul is in prison. I can't help but think that he's pondering this reality of being a Roman citizen. And then in that space of wrestling with where he's actually from, he gets revelation of where he's actually really from. Yes, he's a Roman citizen, but he recognizes I feel so foreign here. And when you read the book of Philippians, you see him, you read him saying things like, for me to die, for gain Christ, is to gain something. What's he saying? I'm kind of done being here. I want to go be with him, but I'm not ready to go just yet because I need to be here for you. So Paul is wrestling with this reality. He realizes he doesn't have a citizenship. He is now a dual citizen. One of the things I envy in life is people that have dual passports. I'm like, how cool is that to show up out of a country and go, which passport am I going to use now? And this one country, they won't allow me in, but with this passport, they'll allow me in. So I don't know how I'm going to get dual citizenship at this point in my life. Both Candace and I are American, so it's not going to work that way. But I don't know. I guess you can buy your way in some countries, but someday my dream is to have, it feels like you're a spy. You know how the spy goes to that locker in a train station and he's got 10 passports and he's got money and guns. And there's something about having multiple passports. I just want to be a dual citizen. Well, Paul realizes, guys, let me write you something. We are actually dual citizens. Yes, we're citizens here, but we're actually citizens of heaven. This is important to understand because the way you function, the way you think, the way you live and the way you be is rooted where you're most loyal to. You can tell someone where their loyalties lie and how they think and how they live and how they act. You can tell where someone's citizenship, where it's rooted in, what it's rooted in by how they live, how they treat you, what happened when you mistreat them. All of a sudden, you get tapped into a reality of where their citizenship actually is. You see, being a citizen represents a way of life, it's a way of thinking, and it's a way of being. I'm going to continue explaining the word polituma. The words, the letter M-A onto that, whenever you have that in a Greek context, it actually reflects the result of an action. In other words, how you act is an indication of where your loyalties are. In other words, how you act represents your citizenship of where you're from. Like when I travel the world, people know I'm an American, and I'm not even that loud of one. I have friends in Iceland. They couldn't stand America. They said, we went to Texas, and we could not. I said, listen, America is so diverse. You cannot boil American down to just one state, and especially a loud state called Texas. Texas is a very different state, but America is like 50 little countries. You see, you have to understand, wherever you go, people know where you're from. So I want to propose to you what Paul is trying to propose here. Guys, wherever you go in life, people know what citizenship and what nationality you have and who you are. What he's trying to do, he's trying to elevate us to another reality. Your citizenship, the highest form of your citizenship as a follower of Jesus is heaven. So how you act should reflect where you're from. How you think should reflect where you're from. How you live your life should reflect how and where you are from. So the idea of polituma is the idea that it should reflect the worldview that is represented from where our citizenship is. So for followers of Jesus in this room, your citizenship is your highest level. Citizenship of heaven is your highest level of loyalty. It means we are to live by the values of heaven on earth. Now what I want to do, I have a slide I want to pull up for you. And if you can go and pull that slide up. These are actually some of the attributes of what it means to be a citizen of heaven. Because once you continue reading Philippians, you get into chapter 4. And I put the references up there. Take a picture of this to look at later. But I want to go over these with you, that Paul talked about being a citizen of heaven, and then he moves into chapter 4, and he begins to go through a list of things. Now, I would propose to you, you can easily go to the life of Jesus and study his life, and he definitely is a representation of what it means to be a citizen of heaven. But today, I simply want to stay in the confines of the book of Philippians, specifically chapter 4. A citizen of heaven is committed to unity and reconciliation. No matter how volatile, how divided, how separated our world becomes, guess what? When you're a citizen of heaven, the way you live your life is you are someone that advocates unity and advocates reconciliation. Can I get some response to that, please? A citizen of heaven rejoices despite the circumstances and does things without complaining and grumbling. How many know this is a lot easier said than done? And guess what? Right now, in this moment in our life, in this nation, these things we get to put to practice every moment of every day. Is to do things without complaining and grumbling, and to always be joyful in no matter these circumstances. Number 3, a citizen of heaven is gracious and gentle in his or her conduct. That's one of the beautiful parts of Jesus, is Jesus was this man that was so gracious, so gentle. He had force and he had some momentum in him, but he was also a man of graciousness and gentleness. A citizen of heaven prays instead of worrying. A citizen of heaven is someone that actually prays. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that the word of prayer and supplications. And the word supplication means to actually pray and to leave your worries with him. So this is an indication of a citizen of heaven, is that you pray instead of worrying. Number 5, a citizen of heaven focuses his or her thoughts on what is good. Is someone that asks you that, I know there's a lot going on here, but I will always draw my thoughts to what is good, what is noble, what is pure. That's where our thought life must originate from. And if you don't have that in your life, guess what? You fight for it. You fight for it. You fight for the reality. I want everything to originate. My thought process, my mental frameworks are coming from dwelling on what is good. Last but not least, a citizen of heaven practically lives out what he or she knows as the way of Jesus. Practically lives out. And if you're wondering what are the ways of Jesus, go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke. If you want more concise address, go read Matthew chapter 5 and 6. That will keep you busy for the rest of your life. Just get through the first 6 verses alone. And if you can master that, you are well on your way to figuring out the rest of 5 and 6. You see, this is what it means to be a citizen of heaven. It's a representation of a way of thinking, a way of living, and a way of being. You may be a British citizen. You may be an Australian citizen. You may be from Colombia. Most of you, I believe, are American citizens. However, I want to remind you today that your most important citizenship is you're a citizen of heaven. That is where our loyalties lie. There are forces in this world that are at play that are trying to pull you into the reality of the world that we live in. And guess what? Everywhere you go, guess what you bring? Heaven. You bring a slice of heaven. You bring a piece of heaven. This is what Jesus would do. This is what Paul said to do in these moments. So every dimension of humanity that you step into, guess what? You represent a different world. Why don't you stand?
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.